stand by the coffin of a warrior down, and especially a man of God like Ron was, a friend, acquaintance, relative, father, grandfather, saucy guy in church, friendly guy in church, outgoing guy in church. I love the heart that was created by all of you in one sense, but through Alyssa and whatever program she used, became such a beautiful summary of his life, as pictures do too, as we try and put together many, many years of living into a few pictures. We just thank the Lord for that. As we get ready to share today and worship God and be reminded of our own feelings and emotions at a time like this, I'm going to ask that you join me in an opening prayer, if you would. Lord, thank you for every man, woman, and child here. Thank you, Lord, because there's a lot of love, support, caring, and mercy, and encouragement that just comes together, even in these serious times. We become very mindful, Lord, of our own limited life and how quickly it can be taken from us, Lord. At the same time, we're reminded that in you there is hope and joy and confidence and grace and more than victory than we can possibly ask or imagine. So I'm asking you, Lord, to, by your power of your Spirit, be here and to gather our hearts together, bring them before your throne and minister to each one of us here today. I pray for encouragement, I pray for healing, I pray for just the ability to grieve and work through all the emotions and the loss. I pray, Lord, for the ability to hear your encouragement in your word. And then above all, Lord, I pray that your name would be lifted up as we do this service. And so today we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's people say, beautiful song, a hymn, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. These were picked by Ron and the family, and each one has an immense amount of meaning. I was, I believe, in seventh grade when my grandfather died, and I cried all the way through this song, so I hope I make it today. But it is that meaningful, and so it's really a privilege. And so we join together, if you're able to, please, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me.
Thank you.
I'd like you to join me if you're able to. We're going to read together Psalm 121. It is a song of encouragement. We have to remember in many, many ways, funerals are for the living because he is already with the Lord. And it takes us a while to figure that out sometimes and grieve and all the other things that we unfortunately still have to go through. But let's join in this psalm if you're able to read it with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Pastor Akani has become a very special friend to Ron and to Lamb of God family. He and his wife and their church, Bethany Church, they're kind of a church that we love and support and encourage and sometimes are able to bless. And so the family asked if he could come and share whatever's on his heart with you today and remembrances of Ron or anything else that he has from the Lord. So Pastor Akani, if you would, please.
Thank you, Pastor.
We confess to you, Holy Spirit of the Lord, we
have no power of our own.
Amen.
Amen.
The second one is, when we come into his presence, we're so happy. Hallelujah.
When we come into his presence,
we're so happy. In his presence, there is anointing. Holy Spirit moves around us. In his presence, anointing rests on you.
Jesus died
for you, wonderful, for you, a Savior died for you, how wonderful, your sins have been washed away, hallelujah, it is wonderful to know that Jesus died.
Died. Amen.
Church, I met Ron Bea a few years ago through an ongoing partnership with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Pewaukee. Ron was a true Christian who loved God and his neighbors as himself. We come today to honor a man who was a child of God, believed in the things not seen, and was looking forward to the day of glory ever since he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Some of you present today knew Ron and his passionate spirit to connect and help people, especially the poor black community in the central city of Milwaukee. Seeing people's lives change excited Ron, and the desire to change lives was one of the reasons Ron and his wife frequently came to serve the needy in Milwaukee. I have had the honor, privilege, and blessing of knowing Ron and had a great experience working closely with Ron and his lovely wife. I was drawn to Ron, his church's ministry, and its mantra of faith brought to life in the black community. Ron was very inspiring, and his legacy of faith enriched everyone in the ministry. I thank God for Ron's outpouring of love, kindness, mercy, and faithfulness. As I reflect on some of his accomplishments, I am thankful for his demonstration of faith and commitment to support and help the needy in our community. Ron loved the Lord and always cared about those in need. There's no doubt about that. You all know about it. Ron loved his wife so much, they became inseparable. I know them as the couple who was always holding hands and walking together. I could not forget the many times they spent making deliveries to those in need in our community. Frequently, we prayed together after making each delivery. I will miss Ron and his smile. Ron spent the later years of his life serving the poor and oppressed, campaigning for better treatment for racial minorities and low-income households. He visited the inner city frequently with gifts and food deliveries. His response and contribution to helping address the pandemic crisis agree with the passage in Matthew 25:35-36, for it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Never in my life have I seen someone with such passion who loved Christ and lived his life loving his neighbor the way he loved himself. We mourn for Ron, but differently, because of the hope we have in eternal life, and that hope of eternal life for Ron began when he responded to God in Jesus Christ, who is the God, the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. As I think about his accomplishments, and now facing a future without Ron, it is hard not to remember his love and persistence in finding hope and joy in the midst of uncertainty. I can think of nothing more important to Ron than his faith in God, commitment to helping those in need, and allowing God to guide his path in the way to treat others. Though the pandemic has placed so many burdens on him, but he didn't let his apostolic calling down. Let me repeat. Though the pandemic has placed so many burdens on him, but he didn't let his apostolic calling down. He didn't. I know this is a painful time for all of us, so please let me ease your pain by telling you that Rumbea is in heaven right now. May you say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. While the scripture tells us that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, Psalm 147:3. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Connie. So we sing this next song. It's a familiar one. And yet at the same time, the message is significant because in each of our cases, we need to recognize the grace of God continuing to cover our lives. We join together in Amazing Grace. Notice in the scripture readings, there's a little note above each one. This was identified by the family as one of Ron's favorites. And so we're going to read, I'll read it to you, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The next two sections or two verses that are picked out there, if you notice, are a couple that Jan would be speaking over Ron and to Ron some of the time while she was in the hospital room and she was able to talk with him. First one comes out of Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The other one from Isaiah 41, 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Funerals are fascinating times because everyone has a different set of questions as they approach a funeral, a different set of emotions. Obviously, you're here, there's some degree of support, love, grieving, and other things like that. But there's also a lot of questions like, I could be there. That could be me. Am I ready for that? What would happen to my family? Questions that kind of float in and out depending upon your age, depending upon your health status, depending upon all kinds of different things. But people ask different questions at funerals, and they become very significant in terms of that. I think a lot of people like to apply what I call the 11th commandment. The 11th commandment is be nice. And have I been nice enough to make it into heaven? Or the 11th commandment can be love. And have I loved enough to make it into heaven? Or some phrase like that. Well, the answer, just as blunt as I can be, is no. I haven't. Ron hasn't. It's not a possible reality. If you heard Pastor Connie's song that he sung over him when he laid hands on him, you began, or on the coffin, you began to understand the song was giving thanks to Jesus Christ for a forgiveness, for a salvation, for a work of God, because not because he didn't love and respect Ron or appreciate all the wonderful things that he clearly pointed out to you as he shared about Ron, but because he knows, he understands, and Ron understood more than anything else that he was never going to be good enough, but in Christ he was given this gift of salvation, of heaven, of forgiveness, of mercy and grace that God extends to us all. And so in that beautiful little song that Pastor Connie shared with us, you begin to understand how simple and clear the whole message of a funeral service can really become. And that becomes absolutely important for us to understand. So as we realize that, I once was dealing with this. I told you already, my grandfather's funeral when I was about in eighth grade, I cried through the whole song. But I want you to also understand, I remember when my own father died about 5 years ago, the thing that was interesting is I was dealing with Christmas and New Year's going, Lord, how can there be something good happening in the middle of Christmas and New Year's considering the things that we're dealing with? And I was wondering what I could possibly say. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, Bruce, this is what Christmas is really about. Christmas is about God entering my world so that I can lay in a coffin or wherever I happen to lay one day, and he can sing over me, I have given you freedom. I have rescued you from sin. I have made you a child of mine. I have reached into your life, and you are now going to be with me eternally in heaven. That's the message that Christmas brings. And we forget sometimes that in the middle of what we think is presents and good food and just family, we forget sometimes this is a war, a battle for your soul, for your very salvation. Satan wants to destroy every man, woman, and child in the room. And God wants to rescue every man, woman, and child. Some of you are going to miss Grandpa more, husband more, than maybe others. But the message that Ron lived demonstrated my whole life that I knew him, which has been as long as I have been here, as a camping buddy, you may have seen that, as a men's retreat buddy, as one of my elders, and all the other things that Ron was to me, like a brother who you could talk about anything to, or just kind of grieve and he would understand. Or if you had a crazy joke, he could be the one you could tell it to and it would be just fine. Those are all things that I will lose and mourn and miss. But the reality still is that the message Ron wants to leave with his family, wants to leave with all of us, is kind of summarized in that beautiful section that he picked as one of his favorite verses, where it says, do you not know and have you not heard? The last thing Ron would want you to do is leave this place not hearing that Jesus Christ died for sinners. I am not good enough for heaven. Ron was not good enough for heaven. There isn't enough kindness. There isn't enough 11th, 12th, and 13th commandments you can make up to find a way to become good enough for heaven, because it's not about what I have to bring, as you sang in that other song, Nothing I bring to you. I've got nothing in my hands, nothing but what I am. And I come to you, Lord, and the Lord speaks to your heart and he says, for you, child, I died. For you, I came on Christmas Eve. For you, I lived on this earth. For you, I went to the cross, and every one of the things in your life have been covered by my mercy, grace, my blood, and my love for you. That's what makes this a day of celebration, even in the middle of the grieving and the loss. And all these things that we see in that beautiful little heart that's up there, all the everything from something saucy to something sweet, something gentle, something strong, all the different hearts of all the people that were sharing some memories, some words, some thought about Ron are absolutely correct. And yet none of those things make this day a celebration. What makes this day a celebration is what Ron wants you to hear in the verse that he picked. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He has made all things. And he goes on from there. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. His point obviously is, even in the middle of all our tiredness that we're capable of, all the suffering that we're capable of, you begin to understand God doesn't get tired. God is not quitting on the church, on the people. He isn't quitting on you if you're the biggest sinner that you can picture. All right? Ron would never walk up to you and say, I am so glad I'm not like the sinners of the world. Ron understood what the gospel meant. And the gospel meant that God gave Ron the gift of eternal life. And in that gift, Ron lived. And you heard, as Pastor Connie shared, some of the beautiful characteristics that he saw in Ron's life. Was he the perfect husband? No. Was he the perfect father? Yeah, that one. No. No. Did he live up to God's expectations every day? No. But it's not about that. It's about the mercy and the grace of God, who won't grow tired or weary. And so here's that message that God wants you to hear again. It's one of those times where you're sitting here going, what am I supposed to learn today? You're supposed to hear one more time the invitation of Jesus Christ himself speaking to your heart. Child, I love you. But God, I'm so filthy. I'm so wretched. I'm so compromised. I know everything about you. I love you. And you understand that message has got to permeate your heart as you begin to recognize your need for a Savior and God's willingness to rescue you. And it goes on, he gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. And his point, obviously, is this, that God has got this ability to meet you where you're at. He wants to bring you where you need to be in order to receive all he has for you. He has this work that he desires to do in your life. Anything that takes that from you, he will fight and war over you. You are that precious to him. And so as we begin to look on, it says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. It reminds you, it doesn't matter if you say, well, he was old. The answer is, you cannot tell if you'll make it through the day. This is your moment where God says to you, I have gone to the cross for you. Come follow me. I have paid the price in full. I have taken all of your sin, put it under my blood, paid for it in full. God the Father is not angry. There is no punishment. You have been set free by the mercy and the grace of God. And so as we begin to understand that, whether we're young or we're old, that you begin to understand, the next line then goes, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, I can't remember, you know, praying as hard as I had for Ron for a lot of time there, because the last thing we wanted to do was anyone to either get COVID or die from COVID. It's just not what we want. And you have these rates of 99 point something, 4, 5, or 6, of people that don't die from COVID, and yet, nevertheless, my good brother, my good friend, my elder, my the, you know, whatever we want to add in terms of that has been taken back to the Lord. And that's when I was listening to a song the other night that was singing Warrior Down. And the song, it's almost a children's song, but the message just blessed my heart because this was a man who warred in favor of God, who warred for the people in need, who was at battle to love his wife, who was fighting for every one of his kids and his grandkids. You can't imagine how many times Ron would say something, pray for my grandkids, pray for my kids, pray for this or that, and elders or some other situation when we were doing things. And we had the privilege then of interceding with this brother for the love that he had for his family, for his children and his grandchildren. And it's important for you to know that that was his heart before the Father. And God remembers those prayers. They don't die. They don't cease to have value in the ears of God just because Ron's with them in a different situation. They're still just as precious to God as when he and the elders prayed them. And so you begin to understand that. He will renew their strength. And then finally, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you've ever managed to read the Chronicles of Narnia, I certainly would encourage you to do it if you like some great stuff. I used to think when I was going through seminary, Chronicles of Narnia, fairy tales. And I go, I love them. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I love them is because C.S. Lewis, in the way that he presented the gospel, the truth of God's word, just opened my eyes to see a totally different full picture of God. He's got this picture of heaven in the last book called The Last Battle, and it fits with Warrior Down, The Last Battle. He's fought the last battle, and he hasn't lost. He's won. But the thing that you got to grasp is in this book, the people that all have lived through all these hundreds and thousands of years in the Chronicles of Narnia are coming together, and they're landing in heaven, which in this story is an island. And Aslan, who is the lion, who is Jesus Christ, keeps shouting down to them, come on in, farther up. And they begin running from the beach, and they start running inward. And as they run inward, the mountain begins to form up in front of them. But they begin to find they don't get tired as they run. They don't get exhausted. The very words, they soar on wings like eagles, they run and they don't grow weary, they walk and they don't faint. And I'm reading this book, putting all of these things from Scripture together, what C.S. Lewis is trying to picture, and you're running up the hill, moving in, and the farther you move into the island, you think you'd get to the island grow smaller, but instead, the island continues to get bigger and bigger until you can't believe. You have to understand, heaven is eternal because God is eternal. You can't get to the end of God. You will never fully comprehend the love of God. You can't even understand the mercy of God because the moment you understand a portion of it, God is always bigger than that. And that challenge then, it starts to make this beautiful sense, soaring like wings on eagles and running and not growing weary. That's where Ron is. He doesn't have a cane. He's not walking slow. He is in that point of celebration. And so we celebrate with him and we ask that God would bless us. And so the last two verses are really for those of us who are left. And I thought they're beautiful, and Jan picked them, and you can see them in your bulletin. God is my refuge and my strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Well, that's what we deal with whatever we're going to deal with in 2021, whatever we're going to deal with in our own family needs, whatever we're going to be dealing with in the circumstances that are ahead of us. God continues to be your refuge and your strength. And so finally, do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so you've got this picture of God reaching around, grabbing hold of you. You've got God whispering to you, I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. I have carried you, and I will continue to carry you. There is a guy named Paul Harvey. If you're older, you know him. Know of him. He was sharing the story of the birds in winter. A man was sitting at home with his family, a wife, and the kids were all going to the church service Christmas Eve. And the husband looked at the wife. He said, "I'm not going." And he said, "Well, why? Why won't you go?" He said, I just can't believe. I just don't get this Jesus in the manger stuff. I don't get why you would come to earth. I don't get that at all. I'm sorry. And I don't want to go to church and be a hypocrite. So you go." So the mother takes the kids and they all leave. And he's sitting there looking at his fireplace. And he's got a big picture window. And it's kind of snowy and blustery like it was last night here. And he looks out the window and all of a sudden he hears a thump. And then he hears another thump. And he figured, there are people are throwing snowballs at my picture window. He stands up and he looks out the window and there are these sparrows, these birds, flying at the window trying to get at the fire, trying to get into the warm house. And he feels sorry for them because the window doesn't open and he obviously isn't going to let them in the house. So he begins to go outside and say, "Shoo, go away," trying to help them away from that. But they don't. They continue to fly at the window. Then he remembers the stable, the barn, small barn that he has where his daughter kept her pony and stuff. And he goes there. He opens the door. He lights up a light in there. And he says, "Come here." And he starts to try and do everything he can to bring them to that point. But they won't follow him. And he gets so frustrated, so disappointed, and so saddened because he is trying to rescue these birds, give them a warm place to protect them in the middle of the storm, and they won't listen. And he said in his heart, "I just wish I could become a bird so I could communicate with them what I have prepared for them." And in that moment, you start to understand the man discovered why God in Christ came to earth to whisper in the middle of a funeral, to whisper in the middle of your Christmas Eve celebration, to whisper in the middle of your New Year's Eve celebrations, "I need you to follow me because I have a place prepared for you that will take you out of these circumstances and carry you into the place I want you to be." And so within that moment, Paul Harvey communicated that little picture of the gospel, which God wants you to hear and make sure you understand. Don't keep flying at the window. Am I good enough? Don't keep flying at the window saying, "I've been such a nice guy," or "I've been as good as Ron," or any of those foolish things. You'll smash against that window and you'll break your neck and you'll be left outside, where if you listen to what Christ said in the manger, through his lifetime, on the cross and after the cross, "Come follow me, I'm the resurrection and the life," that invitation is extended to you. And so as we hear God's love and God's mercy, my encouragement for each one of you kids and family members especially, if I know anything, I know you, Dad, your dad, Grandpa, he loved you. And he loved, and he did not play games. He told us what some of your struggles were, and he loved you anyway. And he invested himself in your lives. And he counted you worthy of his time, his energy, his emotion, his prayers. That is still in the heart of God, who remembers what every word your grandpa presented to him, your dad presented to him. And so live with that invitation of your own grandfather on your heart. Rise to fill the spot that he's been vacated, taken away by the Lord, so that you too can one day understand and have that song that Pastor Connie sang over him sung over you. But you get to hear it now, and you get to sing it now, and you get to understand it now. And that gift is the gift God gives to you. And even in this moment of your grandfather's death, you've got this moment of your invitation. Come follow me. I want you to be people that live forever with me in eternity. Pray with me if you would. Lord God, bring comfort, strength, hope, and healing to all of our hearts. We just pray for mercy and grace today, and just thank you for all that you do. I pray, Father, for men and women and children, people and families dealing with COVID. I pray, Father, for those who are in the situations in the world of conflict and difficulty. I pray for those on the front lines around the world. I pray for first responders and for doctors and others in the hospitals, nurses that are taking care of and dealing with all kinds of difficult things. I pray for fellow pastors and other church members who are working through all the different questions and struggles that they work through. I pray, Lord, for Ron's family, that they would be a family that is lifted up, not beat down by this death, but is lifted up, is encouraged to speak unity to one another, encouraged to hear the message that Ron lived out in his life, encouraged to hear your invitation to come follow you, to know that the rescue is prepared for them. And so I pray, Lord, that in all things you would come and fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Come and open the gates of heaven so that the blessings you have for us would be flooding our lives. And come, Lord, and let your will be done in each of our lives. We pray this in your name. We join together in the prayer the Lord taught us, right there, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. After the benediction, we're going to be singing the song, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. We're going to have the ceremony of the military done in church right after that then. And so we're going to stay here. We're going to open the doors. They decided they'll have the 21-gun salute. We'll open both sets of doors so you can hear it. If you really want to step out there, I'm not going to stop you. Put your coat on. But this way they're going to be able to do all of the flag and the different things that they do in honor of Ron. And one of the things I always appreciated about Ron was his standing up on days we recognize soldiers and men and women who put their lives on the line for this country. And he was always proud of that. Not arrogant, but proud. And there's a lot of difference between those two attitudes. But I really celebrate that. And so this last song, obviously, is a song you're to take to heart. And I'm... I missed the song? I missed the song. Went right to prayer. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. I apologize to you. Here we go. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Could you do me a favor if you were in the military, or even then or now? Would you please stand? I want to give you a special blessing. We're going to see a brother, a warrior, welcomed into eternity in a special way. Lord, I pray over these men and women, whatever they are. I pray for a prayer of thanks for the sacrifices they made, for the battles they may have been in, whether they were emotional, physical, spiritual, or whether they are remembered or not remembered. I pray for each one of them and thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for the men and women that put their lives online for us every day. And I pray strength for them, Lord. And I pray that as we see Ron honored for the sacrifices and the commitments that he made, that they would receive that same recognition, support, and encouragement. And your blessing would be upon them in a special way, Lord. You may be seated. And now I bless you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May your heart be turned toward God. May you receive what God has in store for you, that heavenly gift of life eternal. May he set you free. Open your mind and your heart until all that you have is surrendered into his hands and you begin to see and taste and know the goodness of God. May God fill you with his joy, his power, and his grace now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you remain as the soldiers come in. I'm sorry, after we sing the last song. Maybe I should read my own bulletin, huh? Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, she's going outside. Yeah, they do all that first in here. I thought she wanted to go up by the coffin one more time. Yeah. Well, just sit down until they do all that stuff. But she wants to go outside to see him or hear him. That's fine. Did you hear that over there? She wants to stay for all the things in here, but she wants to be able to come outside for the gun, 21-gun salute part. So if someone would direct her to go out there, whatever part of this presentation, she should be out there. That's what she would like to do. All right. You're all welcome to go out there.